We started a series last week called Mighty Men and Women of God. And one of the points in the message that we're going to go deeper into today is this point, that mighty men and women of God know where they belong. So let me say that again. Mighty men and women of God know where they belong. Now we're going to get into some different aspects here today, and this can relate to absolutely anybody, and it relates to situations beyond church. But we started this series with a verse that I'm going to go to again. So this is a verse about David's mighty men. King David became king, but it didn't happen without some mighty guys. And it says in 1 Chronicles 11:10, it just starts like this. It says, these are the chiefs of David's mighty men. He had 30 and three main guys, and then he lists them. But he says, these were the ones who linked arms with him as he took up his kingship with all Israel joining in, helping him become king in just the way God had spoken regarded Israel. And then they list his first mighty men who killed 300 people in one battle. So linking arms, being part of a team, knowing where you belong is important. You see, mighty men and women know where they belong, and because of that, they make decisions that cause them to do mighty things. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, we get to read about where David's mighty men came from. And you're going to find this interesting. You see, David worked for King Saul, and David was so good at what he did, the king became jealous of him. David was actually anointed to be the next king because Saul disobeyed God. But Saul was jealous and angry, and he decided he was going to kill David, so David had to run for his life. David ran for his life and ended up hiding in Adullam's fortress. In 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, we read this. It says, David left Gath and escaped to Adullam's fortress. When David's siblings and all his extended family learned of this, they went to join him there. And then it says, everyone who was in trouble, in debt, or in desperate circumstances gathered around David, and he became their leader. Approximately 400 men joined him. Okay, two things about these men. They didn't begin as mighty men, okay? They were people who were in distress, in debt, and just pretty much unhappy with their lives. But they made a no-turning-back decision to go and be with David. Because you see, their decision was a life and death decision. The minute they left their homes to join him, they were marked people. They were marked men, and Saul had their names. And none of them could decide, oh, you know, I'm going to do this for a month, and then I'm going to go back. You know, just kind of feel it out. How's it going to work? If they had gone back, they would have been killed, they and their families. Now, David's family also joined them, but they didn't really have a choice. Because in those days, if the king was going to kill David, he would have also killed their family. He would have went to check, is David here? And if they said no, they would have killed the family as well. But the men who joined him joined because they wanted to. It was their choice. King Saul was so evil. We read a story where he actually killed priests who helped David. I'm not going to read it to you today. Let me just tell it to you quickly. You see, when David was fleeing, he stopped off in a city called Nob, and he stopped where the priests were, and he said, do you have any food? He was hungry, and he had a few men with him. And they said, well, we just have this bread, the bread that's supposed to be in the temple for use, but you can have some. And the priest asked him, he said, well, what are you doing here? Why is this so urgent? And David said, well, the king's business is urgent, and I can't tell you what it's about, but we're in a hurry. And so they gave him food, and then he said, what about a sword? Do you have any swords? They said, well, we have one sword. It's the sword of Goliath. And David knew that sword, because when he was younger, he used that sword to chop off Goliath's head. And so David knows this, and he says, yeah, I'll take that sword. David takes the sword, and he leaves. Unfortunately, there was a guy there who went and told Saul everything that he saw. He said, you know what? These priests helped David. And so Saul calls all the priests to come to him. And when they come, he says, how come you helped my enemy? And the priest said, your enemy? David's not your enemy. He fights for you all the time. He's your son-in-law. David was married to his daughter. They're like, we helped him because he's one of yours. And Saul said, yeah, I don't really care. You're going to die anyhow because you helped him. And he killed 65 priests. But he didn't stop there. He sent soldiers to go kill everybody in the city that had helped him. This was an evil guy. And so the men who joined David made a no turning back decision. You see, no turning back decisions, I believe, are sometimes the things that help people become mighty. When you know where you belong and you make a decision and you stick it out, you accomplish great things. When you bounce from place to place, unsure of anything, you typically don't do mighty things. In 334 BC, there's a story of Alexander the Great. He took his armies and he attacked the Persian Empire. And he did defeat them, but when he arrived on the shores of Persia, he unloaded all the soldiers and all the supplies, and then he said, burn the ships. There will be no retreat. You will win or die. It was a no turning back decision that solidified in every soldier's mind, we have to win. In life, sometimes you and I are faced with decisions and we give ourselves a plan B and a plan C. And it guarantees that plan A will never happen because as soon as it gets hard, what do? Oh, this must not have meant to be. You see, when you know where you belong, you will do mighty things. Now, this mighty decisions are not just men that make these decisions. Women often make no turning back decisions and do mighty things, and Scripture has stories of many of them. But let me just tell you about one, and her name was Ruth. Ruth married into a family. Naomi was the lady of the family. There was her husband and two sons. The husband and two sons both ended up dying, and Ruth had married one of those sons, so now she's left a widow, but she's young, and Naomi is left. And Ruth says to Naomi, I want to stay with you. Naomi says, what for? I'm a widow now. In those days, as a widow, if family wasn't going to look after her, she was going to be a beggar. That was the only choice. They didn't have any social services, nothing to help them out. And Ruth says, I want to go with you. And Naomi actually tries to stop her and says, no, don't come with me. Don't come with me. I got nothing for you. And in Ruth chapter 1:16, Ruth says these words that many of you maybe have heard. Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. She knew where she belonged. She made a no turning back decision. I belong with you, Naomi. That was a decision that looked kind of bleak, but she somehow knew inside, I belong here. You see, decisions about where you belong aren't just based on feeling and what you see. They should be based on a knowing inside. And that decision that Ruth made would turn out to be a really good decision. Because you see, when Ruth first went with Naomi, she became a beggar. She ended up in the fields because that's what the poor people did. The beggars in those days, they'd follow the harvesters and just pick up the leftovers that got missed. It was hard work. But you see, Ruth had a good attitude, and she didn't mind hard work. Let me throw this in here right now. You want to do mighty things? You're going to need to be a hard worker with a good attitude. And I'm talking about life right now. I'm not just talking about church stuff. I have found this out time and time again. People who decide they don't like hard work and they have a bad attitude don't do mighty things. But hard work and a good attitude matters. And it's not easy to have a good attitude if you don't know where you belong. If you're working somewhere and you're like, I shouldn't even be here, you've already got a bad attitude, and why would you want to work hard? But when you know where you're supposed to be, you begin to have a good attitude. You work hard, and great things happen. So do you know where you belong in the area of work? I remember years ago making a no-turning-back decision. And I've made a couple of those in my life. And I want to say this, when you know where you belong, there are seasons in your life. And boy, you just put in, you go all out where you know. Sometimes there's a change that happens, but you still know where you belong. I tell people this, don't make decisions of big change based on feeling or because you don't like where you're at. Make those decisions based on a knowing where you belong and what you're meant to do. My no turning back moment, the one I'm going to share with you, was a number of years ago, after my operating at the pulp mill, the scoop shovel, I moved to carpentry. I actually did that before that job, and I liked carpentry, did carpentry. My brother and I had our own business for a while, and then my brother ended up passing away, so I had a business, and I didn't really want a carpentry business, but I did it for a number of years anyways. And all the while doing that, we did ministry. We worked with youth. We did traveling ministry, stuff like that. And there came a time when I realized I belonged in full-time ministry, not just part-time. And so I realized I need to be done with this carpentry business. It was like the business owned me, not the other way around. And so I was like, okay, I need to be done with this. So I talked to someone who could help me out with it, and as soon as I told him, yeah, I need to shut this thing down, but I don't know how, they're like, well, I don't know if you want to do that. You might want to just keep it, you know, in case the other doesn't work out. But I knew I needed to make a no-turning-back decision. My personality, you go all out in what you're supposed to do. You don't have backup ways out because you don't do mighty things with backup plans to get out. You do mighty things when you know where you belong and you go. And finally, I convinced him, no, you got to help me. I'm shutting this down. So I shut it down, and then I sold everything that I owned in that business. And I sold my favorite pickup truck. It was a Dodge pickup truck, red with chrome all over it. And it had a little bit of lift. It was a beauty. Chrome headache rack, chrome toolboxes. Do I have any guys here like trucks? A couple are smiling. Okay. And then I'd wax that thing. Even the rims were chrome. I'd wax that thing and park it, you know, a little ways away from the job site so it wouldn't get muddy. You had to haul the tools. And I remember one time one guy was like, what are you trying to do, blind us with your truck? No. Anyways, I loved that truck, but I knew I needed to sell it. I sold the truck, the tools, everything. And it was a no-turning-back decision. And from there forward, I began full-time ministry. Was it easy? No. Were there moments I would have turned back? Probably, but I couldn't. I didn't have my truck. Those moments like, oh, I can make some money right now. It's not there. That's right. I made a no turning back decision. And I'll tell you, it's the best decision I ever made. What about you? Do you know where you belong? You see, mighty men and women of God don't go back and forth. They make a decision and stick to it. You see, doubting and always unsure causes you to be unable to move forward. It says it like this in Scripture, James 1 and verse 6. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. This person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Woo! How do you become stable? You become single-minded. Choose, decide, set a course, set a plan, and stick to it. Okay, I'll keep moving. Matthew 5, verse 37. Jesus says this to people. He says, hey, just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Your word is enough. To strengthen your promise with a vow shows that something is wrong. People who do mighty things stick to their word. If they say they'll be there, they're there. If they say they'll do it, they do it. If they say yes, they mean yes. They don't waffle back and forth. I've seen that again and again. You meet somebody who's successful, you won't have to be with them long to find out they are single-minded in their course. That's how they got there. So if you're struggling with that back and forth uncertainness, before you can do anything mighty, get it settled and go. And if you need to burn some ships in the process, go ahead. Well, not literal ships, but you get the point, okay? Psalm 15, verse 1, Lord, who can live in your sacred tent? Who can stay on your holy mountain? Anyone who lives without blame and does what is right. They speak the truth from their heart. They don't tell lies about other people. They don't do wrong to their neighbors. They don't say anything bad about them. They hate evil people, but they honor those who have respect for the Lord. They keep their promises even when it hurts. They do not change their mind. Did you know that was one of the things about, these were lists kind of people who are doing things right, doing things righteous. They keep their word. So, do you keep your word? Do you stick to your decisions? Do you know where you belong? Because I have found out that mighty men and women of God are not divided about where they belong. Scripture says a house divided can't stand. It falls and crumbles. The same for you. If you don't know what church you belong to, you knew I was going to get that in there somewhere, didn't you? If you're not sure what church you belong to, you're going to go back and forth, and you are not going to fulfill your call ever. Because no church is going to know if you're actually there, if you're actually bought in, if you want to grow, if you want to get involved fully. Do you know, or are you divided? Mark 3:24, if a kingdom is divided or split into factions and rebelling against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And then Jesus says these words in Mark 11. These are powerful words, and I don't care if you go to church often or not, you need to hear these words. They are amazing. Jesus says, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. If you doubt where God wants you, or you don't believe you're in the right place, you will accomplish nothing mighty. This is true in work and relationships. We've already talked about work. I just got to give you a one-minute relationship advice. The uncertainty, the unsureness of this person, are they right or not, has to end before the wedding vows. Okay? You've got to make a no-turning-back decision. You've got to know before then. You're not just in it to see if it'll all work out. Oh! You can ask any married person, is it tough sometimes? Uh-huh. But is it worth it? Uh-huh. Yes, it is. You make that decision, you know where you belong and who you belong with, and then you make it great. No relationship is great by accident or on its own. You need to know this, especially young people who are, well, if I just find the right person, it's going to be awesome. You make it awesome. Relationships don't, by accident, sort of suddenly become awesome. No, 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 no. It's like we were talking about last week with the green grass. Oh, the green grass, it looks so much greener over there. Well then, get to work on your grass. You're responsible for it. It's only you who can make it green. You fertilize it, you water it, you deal with the bugs. Uh-huh. You don't like the grass where you are, get to work. That's my relationship advice. Wow, okay, let's keep going. You see, when people know where they belong, one word for this is called being loyal. And people who are loyal accomplish amazing things. You know, Jesus called 12 men to follow him, his close group. He had these 12 men closely following him, and they weren't all loyal. One of them named Judas decided, I'm in this if it goes well. You see, Judas was the guy who looked after the money. And I think he was in it as long as there was lots of money coming in. But towards the end of Jesus' ministry, he started telling them some tough things, and people started going here and there. And maybe there wasn't as much money. I don't know for sure what Judas' thing was, but he came to a spot where he decided, you know what? Yeah, I'm not in this. Now, the thing with Judas, he didn't just decide I don't belong here. He decided I don't belong here, and I think I'll destroy here. Wow. I'm going to say this as your pastor. If you're not growing here or using your gifts and you feel like you don't belong here, that's all right. I'll bless you to belong somewhere else. But don't try to destroy what you don't belong to. Because here's the key. Just because you don't belong doesn't mean it's not good. I want you to remember that from the places you came from. Maybe you came from somewhere and you're still back-talking, bad-mouthing them. Stop. Maybe it didn't work for you, but don't you dare do that. Just belong somewhere and belong there well, because Judas decided, I'm done with this. And of course, we know what he did. For some money, he got Jesus arrested. And he ended up taking his own life. There's a horrible ending to a story. Peter was also one of Jesus' disciples. He was loyal, and he had issues. But Peter was loyal. Peter was loyal. And we know that Peter actually, in a moment of great pressure and fear, said, I don't even know who Jesus is. But his heart was still loyal. He messed up. He did some things that didn't work. But all he wanted to do was be with Jesus and make it work. But out of fear, he said, I don't even know him. And then it says that he went and he wept and he asked God to forgive him. He repented of it. Did you know that Jesus, after he had been risen from the tomb, came and talked with his disciples? And one of the things he did was talk to Peter. And he found Peter, the guy who was loyal, but three times had said, I don't even know who Jesus is. But he had repented of it. He had asked forgiveness. Now Jesus finds him and says, Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Jesus, you know I do. Jesus looks away and looks back and says the second time, Peter, do you really love me? He says, you know I do. And then Jesus says, feed my sheep. He asked him once, do you love me? Feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, I want you to look after my church, after people. And he does it a third time. Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, you know I do. Then Peter, feed my sheep. It is one of the most awesome little parts of Scripture. I love it more than you can imagine. In other words, Jesus is saying, Peter, you are 100% forgiven for when you three times said you didn't know me. I heard your prayer. And Peter, I just gave you three opportunities to say the exact opposite, and I am putting you in charge of my church when I leave. Come on. Why? Because Peter was loyal. What about you? Have you messed up? Have you done some things? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Ask forgiveness, make it right, and go forward. Mighty men and women of God want to learn and grow. The term in the Bible for that is called being discipled. They want to be discipled. I'm not going to read the verse, but in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus called some people to follow him, two guys actually. And one of those guys was Peter. You see, he came and they were fishing. They were casting their nets. Fishing, and Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, you guys, come follow me. They immediately left the ship, their nets, their livelihood, their business, and said, Lord, we will follow you. And they knew when he was calling them to follow him, they were going to be discipled. In other words, they were going to learn how to be disciplined. They were going to learn how, as Jesus said, to reach people, and they wanted it. People who do mighty things are not afraid to learn from others. They are not afraid to be under a boss. They're not afraid to listen to a supervisor. You and I are no different. Are you okay with being under a leader in the different places God puts you? Because if you are, you'll learn, you'll grow, you'll do mighty things. Now, following Jesus, of course, is what we talk about often here. Our mission is that we exist to help people find and follow Jesus. So, yeah, we're passionate about it. We believe it changes lives. We believe it's the best life possible. And so we talk about it every service. And we say, hey, have you thought about following him fully? Do you want to be discipled, to learn and grow? Well, it's easy. It's almost so easy that some people are like, I don't think it could be that easy. The Bible says that if you believe that Jesus was real and that he died for you, rose again, all you need to do is use your mouth to say what you're feeling in your heart. He says if you can do that, you're saved. It's a beginning. So we're going to give opportunity. Maybe you came today and you've never actually used words to say what you feel here about Jesus. We're going to do that right now. And I just ask the group to repeat this prayer after me for that one or two who have maybe never done this. So if you'll bow with me, we're not going to pull anybody out or embarrass anybody. And if you want to, you can repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Use my life. Amen.